Hi, you guys. Welcome to part three of the mental pillar. This recording is part of a bigger training of the temple body. And we finished part two talking about how reining the mind into one thing prevents that lower mind from reigning over us. And I've talked a lot in the last two recordings about how we do need to discipline this lower mind that we have in order to start to touch on the higher mind. And I love this. It's like tuning the mind into one thing helps it function at its best in the moment. And actually, a functioning mind, a powerful mental perspective or powerful mental energy can really propel us forward. Athletes are a good example of this. They use their mind to initiate action. You know, when you think about an athlete, they enter into the zone by becoming single-minded. It's like a one-pointedness to what they do. And that's the same as any meditator. It's the same sort of function. Because a functioning mental body offers direction. A functioning mental body actually doesn't go around in circles. So that's how I know sometimes, you know, I think I've said this before, when my mental body's out of whack, I'm thinking in circles. And I love this. I was talking to my dad only like the other week, and he was talking about, he said, I've always just made a decision and I stick to it. I make a decision and I stick to it. Now, my dad's like 83 now, and he has like a really sharp mind. Well, most of the time anyway, but he always has had like a really sharp, he's got a really sharp mind, and it's like he doesn't really have to say a lot, and he doesn't talk a lot really, not like me and my mum. But when he does say something, it's usually quite to the point. There's quite a one-pointedness about it, which is quite nice. So it's like through my life, he's sort of modelled a real steadiness of mind for me that I'm really grateful for. Like his steadiness of mind has made me feel more secure and safe than like any amount of money or financial stability ever could. And this has taught me a lot about the sacred masculine role of security, of peace of mind. This is a solar or a mental masculine energy that held an enormous space for the power, the emotional power of my mum. It's got that, so it's the masculine and the feminine again. And I see it through my parents. It's lovely, you know. I see the crazy amount of emotional strength and power that my mum holds through her like lunar heart energy, which is very feminine. But also my dad, who has this one-pointedness, this masculine energy that's able to hold all of that. Which is pretty awesome too. So I see through this sort of traditional role of parenting how a balance is provided for a child of the earth, I suppose, which is really, really beautiful, how the mental and emotional bodies work in balance. And when we think about that temple again, that temple structure, and we look at how overloaded the mental plane is, it just shows us how we need to pull some of that energy back into the emotional plane to assist the mental body. I digress anyway. If your mind is underfunctioning, okay, so if you've got an underfunctioning mental pillar, you might experience like a brain fog, lots of tiredness, lots of feelings of like low self-worth, or just generally low self-care. You don't care so much. And of course, this can also be due to like emotional stress or physical depletion, because one always affects the other. But if you think, you know, there's laziness, there's a teenage lower mindset going on for yourself, set yourself a challenge and do it. You know, it's like they say, you use it or lose it. And a lot of the time we can get sort of stuck in an underfunctioning mind, and we lose it because we're not doing enough. We're thinking too much. I Googled this when I was thinking about athletes, and I love this as an exercise to energize the mind. You know, we can apply this to so many things. So I think what I'll probably do is copy this to an email, and so you can print it off and use it. But I Googled it when I was thinking about one-pointedness, and I thought about athletes. So I did a quick Google and I found this thing. It said the 9 dimensions of athletic zone. 1, challenge versus skill balance. So you say to yourself, I have the skills to meet the challenge. 2, concentration. I'm focused on the task in hand. All characters in a story are secondary to that task. This is the one-pointedness that I'm talking about. I'll just be clear on that. So when I think of my dad and I think about how he said, I make a decision, I stick to it and I just do it. And I went, wow, that must be amazing. And I'm a bit like that myself, but not all of the time. But I reckon my dad at 83 is still in the 9 dimensions of the athletic zone. And this made me chuckle, so I'll share it with you. Okay, so let's start that again, lovelies. 1, challenge versus skill balance. So you say to yourself, I have the skills to meet the challenge. 2, concentration. I'm focused at the task in hand. I love this. All characters in the story are secondary to that task. 3, action. I am united with my physical body and engaged in the action of doing, overthinking. I'm engaged in the action of doing, overthinking. 4, clear goals. I know exactly the outcome I want. 5, feedback. All feedback will come during the experience itself. 6, control. Nothing I do can be wrong. In this, I have power, confidence, and calmness. 7, no self-criticism. I will support myself unconditionally right now. I will not taint my experience with the anxiety of the future or any shame of the past. Isn't this awesome? Doesn't this make you want to be an athlete? 8, time perception. I have time. I can bend the time in accordance with my goal. 9, feeling high. I will get a rush from the activity and my sense of achievement in that. So all of this is really coming from, it's just a really healthy way to work with the mind. So really, it just shows you what the mind, this is, I just wanted to say this because like, this is like when the mind is single, one-pointed and doing that thing like my dad said, I make a decision, I stick to it. It's doing all of these things. It's doing all of those things. So you're completely in the zone like an athlete. It's not spinning around in circles. You're not second guessing yourself. You're not, you know, doubting yourself. You're not saying you don't have the time. You're not procrastinating, all of those things. You're just getting in there and doing it. And that's awesome. That just shows you that what the mental pillar can achieve and what the mental pillar can hold if we let it. You know, but like I said before, the problem that a lot of us have is that we've got an over-functioning mental pillar. It's like we're just going around in circles in there. There's too much going on. This can lead to like narcissistic tendencies. You know, it's all about me. I can't surrender, you know. It's or feeling like overly driven. You know, I've got no room in my life to feel my emotions. Or I've got no time in my life to care for myself physically. Headaches, neurosis, anxiety, overthinking everything. That's kind of, you know, like a symptom of an over-functioning mental body. You know, feeling like I don't know how I feel. It's a sign that's more of a sign that we've lost contact with the emotional body. Like we've developed an unconscious defense mechanism somewhere along the way to stop the inconvenience of having to feel. It's a strategy really that we take to protect ourselves that actually works against us. As I said before in the emotional body section, I'm still working on myself to heal this. Quite often I'll feel angry after the fact. It's too inconvenient to be angry with someone in the moment because my mental body wants to work it all out. So it's like I don't know how I am until I'm alone and I feel safe enough to feel, and then it all comes flooding into me. Now, this strategy has been created by my overfunctioning mental body or male self to protect me from the pain of feeling. You know, the irony is, unless you feel into a thing, we can't know it. So the reason that I don't know how I feel is that I'm not feeling into it because my male self is being way too overprotective. Bless my overfunctioning mental pillar, I've written here. The thing is, we don't know how to feel. We feel to know. To feel more is to know more, and this is code breaking. This is the pattern many of us need to work with concerning the mental pillar. We have to realize that we can't just think about our lives. We have to feel deeply into our lives, into them, to know them. So, you know, the lower mental plane works with the lower, you know, the lower chakras. So we're in the solar plexus rather than the heart. So it's like I said to you before in the emotional pillar, if you feel your solar plexus activate when you're relating to someone else, you're feeling them in terms of your power or your lower mind. You're not feeling them in terms of your heart. So you're not feeling them at all, really. You're thinking them. You know, an overactive mind can cause overthinking that drains energy from the solar plexus. So we get nerves in the belly or butterflies in the tummy. And this could be interpreted, I've kind of looked into this, as energy being drawn from our mind into our, you know, it's like the power. I've lost that one. Hang on. I'll just feel into that again, guys. Overactive mind. Yeah, the butterflies in the tummy is that mind energy being diverted down because it's more to do with survival and the root chakras and the lower mind. I know this is complex and I know that I'm kind of repeating myself and dropping things in on you, but you know, we don't know how we feel how we know. No. Oh shit. This is what the mind does. Ah! I just need to take a breath, you guys. I'm so sorry. Take a breath. Okay. We can only truly feel, I suppose, through the center of the heart. This is a higher chakra. This activates the higher mind and the higher mental plane, receives all the inspiration from those streams of energy, you guys, and from the universe. And through the higher mind, we're able to filter in past life information so you can know yourself better and gain more access through the conscious and subconscious levels of the mind to the superconscious oneness of the whole. You know, I got lost there because I was talking about nerves in the belly and butterflies, and it's drawing me into the lower mind. And this is what we all do. It's recognizing where am I at the moment. The gift of the mental plane is there's a stability in facts. There's a structure in understanding, and understanding releases fear. Yeah, it's a curse as well because, you know, like I said to you before, my truth isn't your truth. So absolute truth is tenuous, is very, you know, it's not very it's transient, I suppose. It's not very solid. But the mental plane has this ability to separate and see problems. This is a mechanism, but left unchecked, it can become a habit pattern that can dominate us. So overworking the mechanism generates fear, or more precisely, will trigger our unhealed fear, trauma, and pain on the emotional plane from many, many lifetimes. So if we're overworking that mechanism of seeing problems and separating things, it'll start triggering all of the old problems and all the old separations and difficulties that we've had anyway. And that triggers the fear, and the trauma of that stops us from making good decisions and keeps us actually stuck in the lower mind. So it's like we think how we feel. So when we overwork or overburden the mental pillar, this leads to breakdowns in the temple, you know, and we trigger the feelings, and that triggers, and then the thinking doesn't work, and it's that's taken on in many different forms of like mental illness. So it's like the mental body, what I'm trying to explain, you guys, hopefully I'm not doing too bad a job at it. The mental body starts to trigger the emotional body when it's overactive. Triggers us into all our old patterns, all our old feelings, all the things that we can't make sense of. And then the emotions stop the mind from functioning as it should. Because we think how we feel. And this can lead us to becoming mentally ill. You know, this is why it's like this masculine-feminine balance of having a mind that is stable enough to hold that emotional process is so important. Yeah, and if we've overworked or overburdened the mind, it's not stable enough to hold that. So beyond the heart is spirit force and the higher mind. So the mind, you guys, is not actually below the heart in spiritual terms. But we function too often from the lower mind, which is more in the solar plexus. So we are functioning from a lower aspect of ourselves. But through the heart, if we work with our heart, it can give us access to something else, which is the higher mind and the whole. So through the heart, we access the higher mind. And the higher mind and the heart work together to access the whole. So where there is lower mental energy, there'll be arrogance, vanity and pride. Or maybe doubt, insecurity, fear. Where there is higher mental energy, there is compassion, forgiveness and understanding. So to go deeper into this, the mental pillar has duality. We've talked about this. Everything has duality. We live in a dual, a polarity universe. There's lower and there's higher. There's light and dark. There's masculine and feminine. There's sun and moon. Two dual energies that continually require balance. We all experience both. So you will always experience both. There is no good or bad, it's just there or not there yet. But one day when we get there, we will experience balance. For now, okay, I'm just going to take a breath because this is starting to, For now, you guys, if we experience the lower mind, we might experience or recognize that we are over-identifying with materialism, technology, or consumerism. We might perceive all of the answers to be in things or people outside of ourselves. Excuse me. We might become unhealthily obsessed with our appearance and experience heightened levels of vanity. Everything is lowered into the material. But not into the material, because there's the higher physical world of Gaia, but the lower material plane of stuff and consumerism and competition. We can't see our inner beauty, so we stop trusting our body and its capacity to heal itself. This brings us into an imbalance where there is only the material world, and only the material world is acknowledged. This pulls everything down, so there's no spirit force or life energy. Everything becomes plastic, fake and superficial. This is the road to the alien invasion, you guys, because the aliens are us when we've lost touch of with the organic beauty and wonder of nature, or as matter, as mother. We reduce matter down to something else. We reduce it down to the mind, what we think about it. Energetically, this is male domination. This is the total subjugation of the feminine or the mother energy. So So we don't want to reduce nature down to what we think about it. That's why we have to be in the heart so we experience nature. And if we only see the material world in terms of money and consumerism and vanity and appearances, then we're in the lower material world through the lower mental plane, the lower mind. We're in this pathway, which is like a descending pathway it's like we're denying the polarity universe that we live in. It's artificial. We're moving into like a dominance of male energy, this pathway that takes us sort of to Mars and the Martians. And I'm not kidding. I'm laughing because of how crazy this sounds, but don't misunderstand me. I'm not anti-male. I'm not a feminist. All of this is energetic and all of this is personal. All of this has a potential inside myself and everyone else that also makes it universal with universal implications. So this male dominance, I'm talking about it in energetic terms, where we're talking about power and greed and disconnection and fear, you know, and one-pointedness. We're just interested in one thing and not the whole. And so the mind will take us into that in a big way if we don't discipline it. It will reduce matter, which is just the mother, into something that is just mind, thinking about what we think about it, and then we can't access the whole. It takes us so far out of balance that we can't even access ourselves and our earth. So we become like these alien beings. If this is a descending pathway that I'm talking about, you guys. This is that dense, lower kind of astral stuff. But the higher mind, this is the ascending pathway. You know, the higher mind is of the conscious and the subconscious and the superconscious is incredible. So the mind is not bad, but we have to have like higher aspirations for the mind. So we have to teach it and discipline it so the lower sort of child mind, the teenage mind that we have, can grow into a higher adult state. From here, it can fulfill its sacred masculine role of holding everything. Everything, holding the oneness, rather than dissecting, which is that more kind of teenage role. So our consciousness can do this. It's a sacred container. It's like our heart is a sacred vessel so we can feel into the universes, but the consciousness is a sacred container that holds all of that. So sacred masculine and sacred feminine, both balanced, is where we're trying to go. So we can't negate the mind. We can't say the mind is bad. But we have to discipline it because it's a tyrant at the moment. Lovely. Okay, where are we with time? Right then. So, nearly there, guys. Our minds, we've talked about this, are individual. They are all different. Some are lazy, some are intense, some are logical, some are more, you know, our minds can be more emotional or spiritual in nature. So to have an idea of how your mind works will help you to tame it. And I'm thinking about my son here. His mind is so different to mine. His mind is so, so different, but our hearts are very, very similar. His mind is much more analytical, and so logical understanding of things and drawing conclusions is very important to him right now in his life. He's a young guy, he's like 24. So he wants that. He wants to dissect and rip apart and put back together. It's how he is. Whereas I'm a lot older, you know, I'm different. I'm a lot older. My mind is now more spiritual than its nature. It hasn't always been, but it is now. So for me, freedom, relaxation, and connection is really important to me right now. I'm not so interested in drawing loads of conclusions and analyzing everything to death. It's like I just want to get spacious in my mind. we're both at different stages in our lives. So like I said, age is a real factor in where your mind is at. And so is situation and circumstance, such as your background and your health. You know, there is such a lot to us each as individuals. There's so many factors to consider. So on the road to wholeness and to unity, it's so important not to overlook this. One size does not fit all as far as human beings are concerned. We are one. We're part of the same wholeness, yet we are individual. And there it is again, the duality universe playing out inside of us. So the heart connects us to the oneness, but the mind is, it really helps us to see ourselves, see our individual eye. So I can't ask my son to become spacious in his mind, because at this time of his life, it would be against his nature to do so. In the same way, he can't ask me to meticulously dissect a thing with my mind, as this makes me feel really restricted and claustrophobic. Which, as you can tell, because I've kind of lost the plot a couple of times doing this, recording this about the mental pillar, you know, it's hard to dissect things down. So I'm better at channeling information because my mind is open to this. He's better at questioning the world and organizing the information that he gets because he has an incredible capacity for that. So in order for me to help him understand himself, it's essential that I work with him and his mind for what it actually is, not to try to make him like me. This is the thing about group thinking, you guys, the thing that frightens me about, you know, like I say, the last 18 months. Our minds are built to be diverse. Humanity won't survive if we're all the same. It's like I said about the, I can't remember which pillar we were talking about, but I said, you know, like the light bulb wasn't invented by candle makers. It came from the fringes. It came from outside of that. And that's how evolution works. We don't invent and create things when we all think the same. You know, sometimes it's just a random outside thought that, you know, pushes us forward. So it's so, so important as far as this mental body is concerned that we learn to bow to the other person and make room for them. This is a function of the higher mind. I'm going to repeat this. We bow to the other person. Remember, namaste. We bow to the other person and we make room for them. There's space enough in our minds for them. This is a function of the higher mind. Now, to be clear, to make room for another mind is not to take on everything they are thinking. Like, you cannot think what they think. That's brainwashing. To make room for another mind is to appreciate how they think and how you think and allow room for both. To know your own mind, you guys, is to know how you think, not so much what you think. In fact, I mean, this is you know, this sort of blows my mind a little bit. It's way more useful to know how you think, not what you think. Because what we think changes. There's so much information and so much duality and so much coming at us. So much coming at us all of the time, after all. So how what we think changes day to day. But how we think is much more constant and is something that we can work with directly. Like cleaning out the machine, refining it, so we can process its contents with more understanding. Or so it can process its contents with more understanding. So it's like cleaning out the printer. So the writing is clearer. The information is clearer that's coming through it. So I'll say that one more time to be clear. It's not so much what you think, it's how you think. That is useful to know. Now, I remember in school being so frustrated, especially in maths lessons. I said at the start, in the intro to this training, I'm really have an aversion to maths. I just couldn't understand it at school. I think I've got like the dyslexia with maths, with numbers. But it used to make me feel so stupid. And, you know, I still get a hot flush if I have to do anything that's too mathematical. Now, the education system often assumes that all minds are the same, to the detriment of the children in that system. And I see this, so I felt this when I was at school. I felt like, you know, it wasn't that I didn't have an appreciation of maths, I just didn't understand it in the same way as my peers. And now that I'm older, I can see the beauty in it. I could become interested in it. If I had the right teacher, I'm sure I could. But we're all different. You know, so times tables and the structure of school didn't necessarily fit the way my mind worked. And I see this too when you know, I'm not doing it so much now, but when I used to teach yoga, a person with a very active mind would come to yoga and really be down on themselves, really berate themselves because they struggle to get quiet in meditation. Now, I don't really believe that sitting meditation is right for everyone. There's other ways to find a meditative state. Meditation can be active. I personally learned meditation through doing Ashtanga yoga. So through doing a really kind of intense physical practice, it made me quiet. It made my mind go into one specific place, which was into my body. And that was my way in. So to know your own mind, you guys, is not to know what you think, but to know how you think. And that's so important. And to make room for another mind is to accept how they think too, not to try to bend them or to bend yourself around to thinking the same thing. Diversity, you guys, is good. And we can hold that with the higher mind. We can hold all the diversity, and that creates unity. And that creates, and that's, you know, so much can be born from that because there's so much information in that. There's so much, it's beautiful. It's so diverse. It's such a melting pot for something new to come into us. Now, dominant thoughts. So when people try to bend you around to thinking the same thing as them, that's a dominant thought. That's trying to have power. Dominant thoughts create a brainwashed society. We have to be so cautious about a one thought world. Or even ourselves when we're being over dominated by one thought. We have to make room inside of ourselves to be diverse and adaptable and open. We have to make room to disagree. So important, and I feel like this is so, so important on the mental pillar. It's like we won't allow anyone to disagree with us, or we're frightened to disagree, we're defensive and argumentative. And but it's okay, because disagreement actually creates potent energy to change and grow. It's a friction that creates heat, that something new will come out of it. But dominant thought consensus keeps us stuck and keeps us all locked into a mental prison. And this is where I've been like properly kind of like worried about the COVID situation with, you know, like I'm pro vaccination, I'm anti vaccination, I'm pro this, I'm anti that. It's the how people have split off into two different factions of two different dominant thoughts, because they keep us locked in and we can't communicate, and so we can't learn. And that's the domination of the mental plane, the domination of the sun energy, the human corona, if you like, at play. So, okay, it's like we have to learn to love our diversity of mind, how our mind picks things apart and has many different ways of looking at things, whilst retaining our ability to stay unified. And this is the higher and the lower mind coming into balance. The lower mind is picking things apart, picking them apart, but the higher mind is saying, you know, I'm just going to hold this. I'm just going to hold this. So both imbalanced. Both are in balance, sorry, in balance. The higher and the lower, it's integrated. So integration is the challenge of the mental pillar, after all, is integrating, bringing that lower mind, rising ourselves out of it, integrating ourselves more into our higher mind, whilst forgiving the lower mind because we're human. You know, and really, I'm just seeing something that I wrote a while ago, no groupthink. And this is my friend who said, I'm standing alone even though I don't know what I stand for. This is spiritual courage because you're retaining your mental independence. You're not falling into a lazy mindset. This is critical thinking. This is the gift of the independent mind. Integrating the independent into the whole is the challenge. That is going to take us, elevate us up. And it struck me, you guys, we're nearly there, that as we hold space and make room for ourselves and for others within our mental plane, we are meeting the masters. We're joining them as they hold a stream of intelligence or light for us. In our own small way, we emulate the masters by holding a space for, you know, we're holding a space for this course, we're holding a space for our mental pillar and ourselves and other people within that. It's very, very beautiful. It strikes me as so beautiful. And as I'm feeling that, I'm feeling the energy of the masters now, particularly Serapis Bey, the master architect. And I'm grateful because he's showing me the divine structure in the foundations of the mental pillar and its function, if that makes sense. So in summary, you guys, the mental plane needs consistent balancing and rebalancing. It has a tendency to either over or under function. Or more accurately, the mental pillar over functions through being over opinionated or too dominant through the lower mind. It underfunctions too when it allows its mental capacity to be dominated and it can't access the higher trains of thought, which we all should have access to. It's like a human rights issue, really, with our mental plane that, you know, when we're dominated by groupthink, we can't access those higher strains of thought. It's really difficult to rise our energy out of that and break through it. But we all have an innate right to access that. You know, that's part of our higher mental plane. And the ascended masters are holding these higher streams of thought energy for us to access. So, lovelies, we are invited through spiritual initiation, both personally and globally, to join the consciousness of the masters and hold mental space for one another's ability to independently think and act. Not to judge them, make them wrong, or to ostracize them and push them out. The mental plane expands to hold the other, to learn through and understand the other. This brings a great beauty and a diversity to the whole or to the collective consciousness. It's almost like through this COVID thing and through people splitting into one faction or another, that it's sort of splitting the consciousness apart. And that's the thing that I find kind of scary. You know, I think we are individuals. We have a right to think individually, but we are also one. So we have to communicate. We have to stay in the heart. So anyway, we're holding the masters are holding a mental space for us and for us to independently access that. And we can independently think through that example. You know, there's a stream of consciousness that is a bit higher there. The lower mind needs discipline if we're to access the higher mind and the superconscious connections to the cosmos and the information within that. The way to discipline the lower mind is to focus on one thing in the present moment. And this can be achieved in many ways. There's many roads to the same place, as we all have an individual consciousness as well as a collective one, and both need to be respected. The challenge of the mental body or the mental pillar is to surrender the urge to dominate. and instead allow for diversity of mind and thought and integrate this into the whole. So for some of us, it is to surrender the urge to dominate, but for some of us, it's to break through that domination, you know, and integrate back into the whole. As beings, we must surrender the importance of the lower mind and work through the physical, emotional, and spiritual pillars to bring that lower mind back into balance. There's not so much weight there. And through this, we integrate the higher mind. Only through surrender can the mind truly access wisdom beyond knowledge. Your mind is beautiful and miraculous, but it is not the only thing. It separates, yet it is not separate. It integrates, yet it is independent. It highlights the dual nature of existence and ourselves, while simultaneously, it pulls it all back together. Oh, it can be low, it can be high, it can be illuminated or cloudy. Our discipline is to recognize both aspects. Recognize it all and bring it back into balance. This ties, you know, the mind, it would tie us up in knots, only to set us free again. And this is the nature of the mental plane as I see it. It's like a glorious conundrum that is chaotic, yet it has structure. And that's why it's like I've had to stop, and I think I may have sworn in the middle of it, because it's so difficult to pin it down. But yet it's so engorged and overinflated. It is a glorious conundrum, and I'm sending all my love and blessings and thankfulness and gratitude to Serapis Bay for trying to get us closer to this. I've certainly haven't found this module easy myself, and I feel this might take a few listens, you guys. So take your time on this one. Take your time with it. But know, as always, you know, it's like we want to know, but we have to release the need to know, because we're learning this through vibration as well as through the mental plane. And that vibration is connected to the oneness and the wholeness, and that is the higher mind. So I'm going to stop talking now, because I feel like I'm going to talk us around in a circle if I carry on. But I'm sending you so, 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 so much love, and congratulations for getting to the end of the mental pillar. It wasn't the easiest one to grapple with, but I salute you for your efforts, and I bow to you and make space for you within my mental plane. All my love, lovelies. Bye-bye.